A trick of the light, though momentary, can still be deadly. This is the flavor text of a card printed in Commander 2019, Hate Mirage. The card itself may be interesting, 4 mana to create 2 temporary tokens at sorcery speed, but the flavor text is what I'm actually interested in today. A mirage isn't just an illusion created with red or blue mana, but a real phenomenon of heat distorting rays of light. It is most commonly seen on hot days as fake water appearing on the surface of a road, or heat lines rising and shimmering upwards from layers of hot air coming from the relatively hot paved surface of a street. Heat distorts perception, and learning to recognize this phenomenon is useful, both in real life and in Commander. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using the most powerful cards available. Threat assessment is a skill we've talked about before, multiple times, and today we're going to focus on a particular quirk of multiplayer magic which can distort threat assessment. Heat, the term we're going to talk about today, actually originates from professional wrestling, a form of entertainment I personally may have lost interest in a long, long time ago, but which my old playgroup back in New Jersey absolutely loved, leading to me picking up a few of these terms as I went along my magic career. As an outsider looking in, pro wrestling is really similar to melodrama at heart, just with more punching. And in any good melodrama, you need to have bombastic villains. In wrestling, they're called heels, who are tasked with being so bad that the faces, the good guys, look even better in comparison. And the worth of a good heel is usually measured in how much ill will they can stir up in the audience, how many boos and jeers they can channel into a match. The more emotional a crowd gets, the bigger the emotional swing they get to enjoy when the face does something bombastic, such as turning the tables on a heel. This concept is referred to by wrestling fans as heat, and a good heel can draw heat to literally get the audience fired up. If you're not a fan of pro wrestling, or think everything I've said up to this point sounds like moon talk, well, you're not alone. The good news is that you don't need to know anything about wrestling to understand how heat applies to Commander. The key takeaway from this whole discussion about wrestling is that heat is an emotional response. Now, let's talk about magic. Imagine a game of Commander where 3 of the 4 players are on green decks, relying heavily on land-based ramp instead of rocks or dorks in order to get ahead on mana. And then, player 4 floats some mana and casts Mana Barbs, an enchantment for 3 and a red which reads, whenever a player taps a land for mana, Mana Barbs deals 1 damage to that player. Most likely, each of those other 3 players look at this and will assess this enchantment as negatively impacting their strategy. Whenever they take an action of tapping a land for mana, they take a point of damage. And since they're not using mana dorks or artifacts for their ramp, they'll be taking a lot more damage than player 4, the one who cast Mana Barbs. Heat is generated from each of those 3 players by player 4. The heat's direction is towards player 4, the person who cast Mana Barbs. People are going to be upset by this stacks piece coming down. Let's try another more nuanced example now. Player 1 is on a graveyard deck, while the other players are on more traditional creature-based beatdown decks. Player 2 decides to cast Rest in Peace, turning off an entire axis of Player 1's game plan. Now, Player 2 is drawing heat from Player 1. Player 1 is likely now seen as less of a threat from Players 3 and 4, as they can assess that Player 1 now lacks access to a graveyard, so Player 1 is drawing less heat from 3 and 4. But Player 2 might feel more heat from Player 1, as even without access to the graveyard, Player 1 might decide that the only option they have is to knock Player 2 out of the game as soon as possible, so they can get their game plan back on track. Player 2 might also feel less heat from Players 3 and 4, particularly if the action they took is seen as helping to stop Player 1, particularly if Player 1 had been seen as the archenemy beforehand. So we've already identified a number of different actions which you can take at a table which may draw heat. These could include things like playing a stacks piece or playing another card which has a high salt score on a site like EDHREC, something that's likely to get your opponents upset that you're playing it. See our Mana Barbs example above. You could also use our Mana Barbs example above as an example of your game plan and your actions directly opposing the game plan and actions of other players. Mana Barbs against land-based green ramp decks? Well, that's going to be a pretty nice counter, and something that may draw significant heat from your opponents. Along those lines, it doesn't just need to be a stacks piece. You could also use a piece of interaction or an answer like a counter spell or a removal spell to interact with another opponent's game plan, thus drawing heat from that opponent. Or playing a card which directly threatens their game plan, such as a big Blightsteel Colossus which you're threatening to beat the table down with. Which dovetails nicely into the last main way to draw heat from opponents, and that is to be the archenemy, to be the person who is obviously in first place and threatening to go for it over the heads of your opponents and end the game, often requiring all of your opponents to gang up on you together to beat you down. That's another form of heat. Now, before we go on, one thing I want to be clear on. Heat is not someone getting tilted or getting salty. It is not a player throwing a temper tantrum. That's a little bit of an extreme example of drawing way too much heat. In most cases, it simply means you're getting more attention, often unwanted attention, from one or more of your opponents at a commander table. I'd also like you to notice that neither of the examples that I've used so far mention any specifics. That's both for the sake of brevity in what I already think will be an overly long episode, and because these examples highlight the points that will color an emotional response to these game actions. One of the ramp players living under mana barbs might be hurt far less than the other two because their ramp package is built around Urborg plus Cabal Coffers, meaning they only need to tap three lands to generate bunches of mana. Or in the Rest in Peace example, player 2 might be incidentally hurting player 1, but in reality, they're setting up for a combo with Helm of Obedience, looking to use the replacement effect on Rest in Peace to mill opponents out one at a time and go for it. That second example might sound an awful lot like politics. Well, it is. In a lot of ways, that's the heart of multiplayer politics in Magic. Don't worry, everyone. I can stop the archenemy player 1, player 2 declares, as they triumphantly cast Rest in Peace, playing up the cheers and reactions from players 3 and player 4. You see, no one player can successfully fight on equal footing against three opponents. If you're interested in trying that, Wizards created a completely different format called Archenemy, where the Archenemy gets a free and often massively powerful card each turn called a Scheme. Recognizing, using, and managing heat is a useful skill, which you'll see players who are especially skilled at the political aspect of Commander utilizing on a regular basis. We've already done a few episodes on threat assessment in this regard. See especially our episodes on how to stacks responsibly for information on how to assess whether a stacks piece hurts you or your opponents more, as well as our episode on Jujutsu in Commander. And a lot of these same lessons apply here. Ask who benefits from the action, when you need to ask, and what your opponent's actions are doing to benefit you. Realistically, nobody can ever take emotion out of the equation completely. We're human beings, we're emotional creatures, and I'm not asking you to sit at the commander table like a robot. But you will see yourself being more successful at the commander table when you check your emotional response to the heat an action generates against that quick checklist. You can also use the heat you might draw from other players to your advantage. MTG and Quarantine did an episode a few months back with Lenny Woolley where they referred to the idea of a commander's loudness. Basically, how much attention you might draw from your choice of commander. It does go beyond that, though. Theoretically, anything you can do will potentially draw heat, but you will find that when you do those things tends to be the trick that determines how much, if any, heat you're going to draw. Turn 1, Command Tower, Soul Ring, Rhystic Study will draw a lot more heat than Turn 8, Command Tower, Mana Crypt, Rhystic Study. Since the table has more resources available to pay the Rhystic Study trigger, and an increase of mana on your side of the table by 2 on turn 8 is a much smaller relative jump than it would be on the first turn. So one way you can manage your heat is to hold off on an explosive turn by sandbagging cards if you think they're safe in your hand. If you don't have anything to do with the 2 mana from Mana Crypt on turn 1, why not wait until you have enough total mana to cast your commander or do something else to advance your game plan in a big way? There are times to not do this, there are times to just explode out the gate and try to cast as many mana rocks and ramp spells as quickly as possible, such as if you're expecting a Rule of Law to come down, or for another opponent to drop something like a Mystic Remora or a Rhystic Study, or if you expect a Wheel to come, these being real concerns in CEDH. You can also try to frame your game actions in a light which minimizes the heat you take. Now this is pure politicking. See our example above about a player claiming that the Rest in Peace is a card used to save the table from the graveyard player while downplaying its importance as a piece of their own two-card win-the-game combo. You can also use heat to your advantage. You can use heat to justify game actions which are really just pure greed as getting back at somebody. So you blew up my Soul Ring, and now I'm going to attack you with my Werewolf Pack Leader, Okame Adversary, and Orion Viper. You'll take 6, so let that be a lesson to you. Oh, and by the way, I draw 3 cards, but that's not important. What's important is that nobody blows up my mana rocks ever again. Heat can also be used to change someone's threat assessment. Look, I know we both have Heuristic Study up, but player 2 over there, they've already countered 2 of your spells. You know how many counterspells they're running. You need to cut off more cards from winding up in their hand. If you destroy Heuristic Study, it should definitely be player 2's, not mine. Finally, you can use heat to try to preempt answers from your opponents. In CDH, it's not uncommon for players to cast a must-answer threat in order to bait out counterspells from opponents. Silence is a commonly used effect here, as it is excellent bait for counterspells, but if people fail to answer it, they are going to have no ability to interact with you for the rest of your turn. See our episode on the power of silence for more information on this. You can do something very similar to this away from the CDH table. For example, let's say you have a creature in your hand which you want to stick. Maybe it's a powerful stacks effect or part of your deck's engine, and you need that creature to go for it. But you know one of your opponents has a Swords to Plowshares in hand. You could potentially declare a threatening creature which you already control as an attacker against them, baiting them to use the Swords to Plowshares to answer your creature, so you can then safely play the creature you really care about. To do it right, you have to make sure that the heat your attack generates is enough to trigger your opponent to answer it. A big, evasive creature is great here, particularly if your opponent has already taken a few hits from it. But you can also bait out the swords with another stacksy creature or a value engine which your opponent can't afford to ignore. Obviously, you can't do this until you're all set up and can multispell, but it's a powerful tool to have access to. And there you have it, what heat is in Commander, and how to use it to your advantage. Hopefully this discussion was helpful in understanding one of the more critical pieces to multiplayer politics in Commander. What about you? Have you sparked any heat at a table recently? What cards did you play or what game actions did you take that really turned up the heat? Let us know. Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. Add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or send us an email, where we are GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.